What's going on? It's Saturday night, which means let's get ready for NFL as we watch golf, as we watch college football. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I got so much to do tonight. I still got to make my NFL lineups. I still got to make my freaking player pool. I have such tough decisions to make waiting for this injury news. So much to do. So how about we shut up and we get to it? What's up, new guy? I'm Degenerate75. I'm a DFS content creator who's here to help you get a little better at DFS because you don't know this stuff be a real tough. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're definitely losing, okay? Even if you do know what you're doing, you're still probably losing. But if you don't, you're definitely losing. I encourage you to hang around because I'm not going to be giving you my top five core plays and picks and all that nonsense. I'm here to help you with a little thing called the process. If you watch this stream and you find you like the cut of my jib, I encourage you to come check out that schedule. I am very consistent. Every Monday and Thursday, I do the showdown hoedown for the Monday night and Thursday night football game. Of course, you're watching the Touchdown Hoedown here on Saturday Night Live. I also do PGA and college football. I encourage you to come check those out. I'm not like the others. That I can guarantee you. Let's get going. Let's shut our mouths. Big news! I'm going to be on Pat Mayo's show tomorrow with Andercust. I never met the guy. Not going to lie. Pretty excited to meet old Andercust. That will be at 6:15 in the Lord's time zone tomorrow. So as those afternoon games are winding down tomorrow, I encourage you to come listen to me and Pat and Intercuss talk all things NFL. It's a good listen. I listen to it every week. Pretty honored to be on there. So come support the show. The big guy appreciates it. Also, I really want to lean more into prop bets. I've had a lot of success betting props, and it's not something that I consider myself an expert, but it is something that I can see growing, that I do feel as though I can help people out. You can see I have Run the Sims Prop Sniper up back here, and I have used them to identify some props that I really like tomorrow. I'm going to give you that, some of those props that I like, but I'm also going to tell you, go look at all the props, and I'll share my code with you. Well, I'll just tell you now, it's DGEN75, all caps. We'll get you, I think it's 10 or 20% off over there. You won't regret it, okay? And yes, I will be doing a drawing. For every 50 likes we get over there, I will be doing a drawing. We will toss it in the Millionaire Maker tomorrow, and we'll go chase some money. And please, sweet baby Jesus, if you're one of those people that says, this guy preaches contests, and then he gives away Millionaire Maker tickets. I really hope you get run over by a car and make this world a better place, because you're a fucking moron. Okay, so there you go. Hit the like. By the way, I'm really trying to say F. I'm trying to keep it under three a show. So that's one. Remind me in the chat. I'm already at one, okay? I have lofty goals. Now, I will warn you, golf, I will always cuss. You can't stop me. Cussing goes with golfing like a nice cold beer does, all right? It's meant to be. All right, but NFL, let's wind it down, big guy. So for every like and for all of you that retweeted me on Twitter, your name is on that wheel. I will draw you at the end. Let's get going. First thing is contest selection. As always, man, I really encourage you to find what contests work for you, right? I am a guy, I do not like to build 150 lineups a week, right? I've done it. I've tried it out. It's just not my style, right? But I'm also not a guy who can just build one lineup and be like, well, that's my one lineup this week. Because, you know, like let's say I really like a stack, all right? I really want to go with heaven forbid, a Baker Mayfield stack this week, right? Well, the thing is a Baker Mayfield stack may get there. That could be the nuts play this week, but the chance that you're going to nail it with just your one lineup is pretty slim, okay? Because what happens if it's Baker Mayfield and Chris Godwin goes off, and you didn't have him with Chris Godwin, you have Mike Evans, right? So I like to have different variations of my player pool, but I also don't want to spam, like, you know, seven different stacks and do 150 lineups. So I really encourage you to find what works for you and do that. For me, it's these three maxes, man. I love the three max, the 153 maxes, the $100 single entries. I like to do roughly about 20 lineups a week. I didn't arbitrarily pull that number 20 straight out up my ass. I did it through a lot of trial and error and figuring out what works for me, what gets me into the number of tournaments. And if you think, oh, you like 20 lineups, so you got to play in a 20 max. No, you can play in a bunch of three maxes, play in some single entries, and you can get to 20 lineups. It doesn't have to all be in the same contest. Just do 20 lineups total and try every time you get into a contest to max in it, right? They have that 33.5 max, so that could be five of them right there. $100 single entry, a $50 single entry, a $12 single entry. Now all of a sudden you're already up to eight lineups, right? So there's different ways to get to your 20 lineups. It doesn't all have to be in the same contest. Matter of fact, I rarely put all of my lineups just in one contest. I like to have a little smattering of all the contests, all right? So that's contest selection for you this week. As always, please try to get in contests where only 10% goes to first. Second place is at least half of first, and 10th place is at least 10% of first. If you follow those rules, you will find that you will get much more money back when you hit good lineups and GPPs, which is all we're trying to do. The other thing is try to play in smaller contests, man. The one I won last week had like 750 people in it, okay? You don't have to beat the whole world, although that lineup pretty much would have beat the whole world, so it sucks it wasn't in one of the bigger ones, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. But the most important contest you should be in is mine! Go get in it right now! They didn't have it for me when I did the show with Tambo on Tuesday, our preview show, so now I'm a little nervous I'm not going to get it filled. Don't make me feel like an idiot. Go help me get this filled. It's 500 spots. It is reduced rate. It is a flat payout structure, and I really appreciate you. It's just growing the community, and you'll get shouted out by me on next week's show. Desert Fires 9321 took it down last week. Congratulations to you. I see a Ship It Nation logo there, and I see somebody flying the flag. You'll love to see it, okay? Go get in that contest. Editor, why don't you go ahead and put it right here in the chat for everybody. I already see well over 100 people in here, so if you guys just all go enter it, we're full, all right? Just $5 three max, $15, all right? Great payout structure. So you might get it all back plus some, big guy. It'll be in the description of this video if you need to find it. Okay. Okay. Cool. If I'm going to be the process guy, right? Not the guy that gives you all the picks and the plays and all that nonsense. Although I will be giving you some props. That's different because on props we're on the same team. On DFS, you and I, we ain't on the same team, Bob. I want you to fail. Actually, I don't want you to fail. I just don't want you to do as well as me. I want you to be right behind me. That's where I want you, bud. All right. So the NFL process tip of the week is this. I do this every week where I give you something that I have learned through a long time of playing DFS sports. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. But I'll tell you what, for the past several years, it has definitely been trending up as I got kicked in the nuts long enough. And I said, hey, I don't like being kicked in the nuts. Why don't I change some things? And I've gotten a lot better at it. And that's called the process. And if that sounds like something you want to do, well, then these process tips should really resonate with you. So the NFL process tip of the week, this one is when you hit a big one, don't change your process. At NFL DFS, all we're trying to do is just stay afloat. This is if you play GPPs. If you play cash, then you really do are trying to grind out a profit every week. But if you're exclusively a GPP player, like I've basically been my whole life, then you are trying to play for one, maybe two big weeks a year, right? You play and you play and you just try to keep those losses minimized, because when you play GPPs, you're going to lose on a weekly basis, right? Even the best players may cash 30% of the time. And even that, I doubt it, okay? But eventually, if you have a good process, you continue to construct lineups, and you get into good contests, you will probably hit a big one. Almost certainly, if you can manage to have your money last long enough. And this last week, yeah, I hit a pretty big lineup, right? It was a pretty good lineup, right? It wasn't like, oh, I can retire, but it was good money, right? It was enough money that essentially the rest of the season is a free roll for me now, right? I have enough money that there's no way I can finish down on the NFL season, all right? And why is that? Well, the answer is very simple. So often when people hit a big one, they'll be like, oh shit, man, I'm about to go play me like, I'm going to play like $10,000 this week. Well, do you normally play $10,000? No, I normally play like $500, and you're going to jump up to $10,000 in 1 week because you have some extra money in your account, and because you had one good week, you think you're Nostradamus now and you have all this figured out? You don't. All right. It is very hard to win GPPs. You're very, very lucky if you can get one a year at NFL, right? And so when you get it, stick to the game plan. Stick to what you did. At the start of the year, I said, I'm going to play about $2,000 a week, and playing $2,000 a week, I'm just going to take flush wounds and flush wounds and flush wounds until I hit a big one. And then if I hit a big one, well, then I'm going to try to hit another big one, but I'm not going to change the $2,000 I play a week. I see so many people fall into this trap where they hit a big one, and then with 2 or 3 months, they go start playing at stakes that they're not comfortable at. They don't have experience building lineups at that level, and they blow through all their money. So don't be that guy. You will hit a big one. You will hit something that is way bigger than you ever thought you could hit one day if you play long enough and you make good lineups. That I promise you, okay? And the best advice I could give you is stick to your process. If you want to gradually, if you hit 2 or 3 of them and you gradually want to work up to that level, you can. But if the biggest thing you ever played is a $5 single entry and now you're trying to play in the 333 Wildcat and max entering that, bro, you ain't ready for that life, all right? And you are just going to blow through all your money. This is what lottery winners do. They get a little taste of it, and they blow all through it because they don't know how to deal with it, all right? So keep to the game plan. Keep that money around and become a long-term winning player at DFS, right? Don't give it all back to the house. When you hit black eight at the roulette table, don't go put all the money right back on the table. Walk away. Well, get a drink first, right? Because you're in Vegas. It's free. Get the drink because you were gambling. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Then get the hell away from the table, okay? That is your process tip of the week. Let's get over to the Rosetta Stone. But before we do, please understand that I make my own projections and I make my own ownership. And I load it all right here into this thing called the solver. New guy, if you don't know about projections and you don't know about ownership and you don't know about optimizers, I'm just going to tell you, you are almost playing a game that it's passed you by, right? You're an analog player in a digital world, my brother, to quote Ocean's 13. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have to get hip to the time, right? Once you get into this world, it is not that intimidating. Projections are just how, you know, we're projecting guys to do. And then you can take that and this optimizer, you pick the guys you like, it will make the best versions of that player pool. So you need projections you can trust, which I will make for you. And you need a smart optimizer to make the best versions of those player pools that can do things like stack, that can optimize the best version of those stack and give you a run back and a secondary correlation, right? You need all those things. And this is what the solver does. I highly encourage you to check it out. Use that little symbol right there, showdown hoedown. Not only will you get the optimizer, you will get all of my ownership and points projections for PGA, NFL, college football. Everything's automatically loaded in there. By the way, I'll even have NASCAR come this February. Hails to the yes, Jim. Hails to the yes. So check it out. A lot of these optimizers, $100, $150 bucks a month. This one, you can get all the sports, $39.99 a month. Insane. And that's with all my projections included. Highly encourage you to check that out, Bobathon. All right, let's check the weather. That's the first thing we should check. There are a couple games tomorrow that have me a little concerned, right? We're starting to get to that point of the year where, like, up north, the weather be getting a little feisty, all right? It's almost Halloween time, I know, because I've been watching Michael Myers all day just chopping people the fuck up, all right? Love it. That's two, by the way. You get me talking about Mike, the F-bombs are going to slip, all right? I love me some Michael Myers. Not the tight end for the Raiders, although he is trending. There's two games in particular that had me a little concerned. Washington and the Giants looks like it's going to be a little blustery, right? We're not talking rain, but some gusty winds, right? That's enough to concern me. Those are not ideal scoring conditions, right? I believe, you know, like compare that to the Rams game. I believe the wind in there is the AC is going to be blowing at a cool 3 miles an hour. So that is something to consider. The other one to watch out, and this has already got me week one when the Ravens had some questionable weather, be watching out for the Baltimore game, right? It is expected to be a little blustery. 20 mile an hour winds ain't nothing, Bob. That ain't nothing, right? These are two teams we already know that prefer to run the ball. And if this takes away some of the deeper down the field passing, this could end up being a quite sloggy game. So just remember those. Whenever you're like picking your stacks and stuff, you'd never really want to have your stack in a game that's going to be in negative weather. Sure, Lamar could run and still be a slate breaker. I get that. He's Lamar Jackson. But to go run Jared Goff and three of his pass catchers in a lineup for the millionaire maker, I just don't think that's the best build. So be watching this weather. The only other one to really watch, I guess there's some chances of showers up in New England and some 13 mile an hour winds. But other than that, you know, of course, the Rams have a slight chance of rain, but I have heard the dome will keep it out. That's what I've heard. And you know, around here, we love dome. So there you go. Oh, shit. I didn't even see that. The Chiefs have a 70%. Oh, no. What am I talking about? 70 degrees, 1% chance. First time reading a weather forecast. Dipshit. All right, let's get over to the Rosetta Stone. This is what I have for all of my members. Of course, they get the fancy colored up one, but we're on the YouTube, so we're going to just go with the black and white one, okay? So here you go. Going through all the games, I'm going to give you a couple opinions, update you on some injuries, then we'll get to questions, then we'll get the hell out of here. I still got a lots to do tonight, bro Cephas. That Topo Chico is smacking tonight. All right, here we go. Detroit at Baltimore. I already told you. See, we have the little weather thing. Isn't that cute? The little weather thing. I think the big news here is David Montgomery is definitely out, and Craig Reynolds is like a true 50-50, which is bad news for those guys and for Lions lovers. But I think the good news here is Jahmyr Gibbs is back, and he does seem to be 100%. If Craig Reynolds is out, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is probably in line for something like 17 to 20 touches in this game, right? And he can get it done out of the backfield. So he becomes very, very interesting. If Reynolds is out, I would expect Reynolds to be chalk. But just remember, they're on the road. They're underdogs. These won't be, like, I highly doubt this game shoots out, so I don't know that he is the free square that you may think he is. I think there's some other guys that are probably more free squares, but I love Jahmyr Gibbs' upside, right? Rookie running backs just notoriously always overperform expectations, right? So if Reynolds is out, I think Gibbs gets a big bump and becomes very appetizing. The passing game, we've already talked a little bit about the weather. Amon-Ra, 8,000, man. If I'm spending that much money, I'm probably spending it elsewhere. And I think the other big news we'd want to know from the Lions is Sam Laporta does seem like he is trending towards being back and will be playing. So Detroit has all their pass-catching weapons back. They just don't have their running backs, right? We already know that Montgomery's out and Reynolds could be out. For Baltimore, it appears as though everybody's healthy. Really, the only three guys that I would seriously consider from Baltimore, and this is me. You play whoever the hell you want because I want you to know a little secret, new guy. I don't give a shit who you play. But the only three guys, if I were considering Baltimore, would be Lamar, Zay Flowers, Mark Anderson, right? They're basically getting all the usage. They're definitively the three best players. If, you know, like playing guys like Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, Odell Beckham, Justice Hill, guys like that, that's showdown shit, right? On main slate, there's just so many good options. I don't think you need to be trying to nail punts like that. Maybe if you're playing in the Millionaire Maker, you could take a flyer on one of those guys. But if you're playing in well-structured contests with like 1,000 people in it, you don't need to be playing these crazy flyers, man. That's where so many people kill their lineups, is being like, well, this guy could go off. Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of things could happen, but they're so unlikely, you're basically just pissing away one of the spots in your lineup. So if you're in well-constructed tournaments and contests, you don't need to play these crazy punts. Las Vegas and Chicago, a game like, I mean, look, we even did the radioactive symbol. First time we've had to bust that out. I think this is the lowest total I've seen all year, just a mere 37.5. For Vegas, Garoppolo's out, so Hoyer is in. I think that Josh Jacobs could be in a great spot here. He might get 25 carries, right? This could just be the sloggiest game ever. He gets 25 carries, falls into the end zone once. He probably gets there, right? If we've seen it pay off more than once with Jamar Chase, and we've seen it pay off with CeeDee Lamb. The squeaky wheel gets the oil, so watch out for Devontae to get a bunch of targets this week, if Hoyer can even throw a forward pass, that is. From there, it is October, so we always got to be aware of Michael Myers. Am I right? He's a tight end. He's getting more and more usage. And don't forget about the other Myers. I know his name is Michael Mayer. Okay, get a sense of humor, Dickie. Jacoby Myers, look, now that he's over 6,000, that's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. When did he become a stud? And I do like Jacoby Myers. He is a legit wide receiver this year. But now when Brian Hoyer is his quarterback, moving on. For Chicago, Justin Fields is out. Tyson Bagent is in. If you want to play Chicago's passing game, you go ahead. All right, if you're in a Millionaire Maker with something like 200,000 people and you need to get weird, go get as weird as you want to get. But I think I'll die on the hill of no thanks, Bob. That's what I think I'll die on there. I do think Deontay Foreman's interesting. He was kind of like chalk flop last week. So, you know, maybe this is a good bounce back spot. Still under $5,000 is a really nice price. I do think he's in line for probably 15 to 18 touches. He falls into the box once in a sloggy type game. It's not like the Raiders have been lights out at defense this year. I could see him getting there. The big news for Cleveland is it does appear as though Deshaun Watson is done faking his injury and he is going to play this week. I think that makes this game a lot more interesting, right? They're already they're going to be in the dome in nice conditions. We've already seen the Colts give up some points in the dome. And Deshaun Watson at 5,700 is actually very fairly priced, right? Kareem Hunt is a little questionable, and the fact they signed somebody today. I'm already forgetting the name of who they signed today, but the fact that they signed him made me think that like Kareem Hunt is probably not going to play tomorrow. So I think Jerome Ford at 5,100 might be the best punt running back that no one's really going to think about, right? Indianapolis run defense has not been great. I think Ford could get 18 to 20 touches, and the guy's pretty good, and there's a good chance he'll be playing in a script with a Browns or ahead, and he gets there. I also always like Amari Cooper in nice conditions. Whenever he's in a dome, give me some Amari Cooper. He has Deshaun Watson back. I don't love stacking Cleveland tomorrow, but man, Amari Cooper is a one-off piece. I would be shocked if he's over 5%. He could be that random one-off piece from a game that gets there for you. David Njoku, that guy has not been on fire. Well, he has and he hasn't, but not in the way we want him to be, right? So I'm still waiting to see on him. Maybe with Watson being back, he'll be playable again. Indianapolis, Gardner Minshew, he got me there last week. Love you, Gardner. You're your stupid mustache. But, man, I just got to tell you, the guy's not playing real well, right? He's not playing real well. The one selling point I could give you is that Granson is out. So, basically, like, two, maybe three guys are going to be getting the ball. It's going to be Pittman, Downs, and to a lesser extent, Pierce. And that's assuming Pierce is even active to play, right? He got banged up at the end of last week, and he might be out also. I've also heard that Jonathan Taylor is likely to get about 60% of the workload this week, so I think you're slowly starting to see him take over that backfield. But man, at $6,500, he's already being priced like he's a guy who's getting 80% of the workload. So unless you think him or Moss are going to be super efficient, I just don't think they're playable. Moving on to Buffalo and New England, we've already said we have some weather concerns with this game. Buffalo has not been as great on the road as they have been at home. Really, they've kind of been hit or miss all year. You know New England is always sneaky tough against the Bills for some reason. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs is a stack that makes a lot of sense, but man, you are spending so much of your money on that stack, right? It's just a really expensive stack, and if you've not seen that stat floating around, the Patriots are notorious for taking out number one wide receivers, so maybe this is the time you go play overpriced Gabe Davis, and he has the big game. You know he's good for two big games a year. That's the only way he gets there, right? From there, I think James Cook is always interesting. I'm a James Cook whore, but I got to tell you, I wish it was Damian Harris that didn't go on the IR, and I wish it was Latavius Murray, so maybe James Cook could get a goal line carrier too. From there, Kincaid, Knox, they're both active. They're both going to be playing, but you know, this game just reeks of slogfest. Just my opinion, Bob. Moving over to New England, they're almost unplayable. I played Kendrick Bourne last week. He did me very well, but he basically got there just through straight volume. I think he had like 12 targets and 10 catches. It's just like they're not good. They're really not good. And if you made me play somebody, I would say Kendrick Bourne or one of these punt tight ends, but Ramondre just hasn't been efficient. They're likely to be in a game script where they're behind. Hunter Henry's banged up. It's like, who am I playing from New England, Bob? I don't know. Keep slapping that like button. We're almost to 100 likes. Getting over to Washington and the Giants, this is another game with Daniel Jones being out. Maybe Daniel Jones being out is a good thing. Washington is a sneaky team here, right? They actually have some pieces that make sense, right? Sam Howell is a guy that has at least shown some life now, right? He's not living up to the preseason hype we were hoping, but he has shown some life. Curtis Samuel, weirdly enough, seems to be his favorite target, right? Him and McLaurin. I do not know what's happened to old Johan Johansson. Okay, he has just sucked this year, and I think he's a big talent, right? Don't even get me started on my boy Logan Thomas. Let me down. What's up with that dude? And then Brian Robinson is definitely leading this backfield, and I think he's almost a shoe-in for 15 touches in this game. So there's a lot of pieces from Washington I would consider, and if I could give you one selling point for the Commanders, it's this. They're fucking affordable. That's number three. Damn it, I'm already out. So Washington is very affordable, their pieces, and I think you can get after them, and they're not even the worst stack, right? Especially if the Giants can push them. But just know this. Tyrod Taylor is notorious for being a game manager and a slow player, right? Not a guy that's noted for, pushing the pace of games, right? On the flip side, I would want to play Saquon here, but man, 8,100, it's like, what's his upside? Is he going to have one of those random 30-point games that he has? I don't know. I can tell you who everybody is going to be playing from the Giants. Everybody's going to be playing Wandell. He was already trending towards being the number one wide receiver. In the first game we saw Tyrod with him, he was definitely peppering Wandell with targets. So Wandell at 3,800, I think, is a very, very viable play in cash. I think he's almost a shoe-in for like 10 points. He'll probably get at least 7 targets. And Wandell, with full point PPR, it's very hard to get 7 targets and not get 10 points, right? But at GPPs, I think there's always a path to fade low-end chalky receivers, right? And I can promise you, he will be one of about 2 or 3 super chalky sub 4K receivers this week. Darren Waller, I think the guy's kind of dusty. And then you have Tyrod throwing to him. I'll find other places to get my money in. All right, the last of the early games is a game that, I want to believe, right? I think Desmond Ridder and Baker Mayfield are two of the worst fantasy quarterbacks in all of the NFL. But let's face it, Desmond Ridder literally just won a Dude a Millionaire Maker last week. So congratulations there. I still think the guy sucks, but it seems like Atlanta at least has a functional offense, and I think that they could get to 21. If they get to 21, that means I think that the Bucs could probably get to 24 or 28, right? So if you get a game that's something like 24 to 21 with this many cheap players in it, right? I mean, you're talking a very affordable Ridder and London and Pitts and Mayfield and White. I mean, there's just a lot of super affordable pieces in this game where you can stack this game, get a double stack of one of these quarterbacks, one run back, and now you have all the money in the world to go get whoever the hell you want from the other games. So do I think these teams are going to shoot out? No, but I do think that they're going to be in nice weather, and I think that they could have a good medium scoring competitive game, and with as cheap as these guys are, that could get you there. So at least consider it, okay? I'm never going to go to bat for Baker Mayfield as a fantasy quarterback, though. I love you, though, Bake. I love that, man. All right, let's get to the afternoon games, because the afternoon games are weird. I think you have two games that are particularly nobody wants to play the quarterbacks, and you have two games everybody wants to play the quarterbacks, right? So with this, I think that offers us a lot of strategy with late swap, right? I think you can look at how you're doing early in the day, and if you're doing well, you can get on some of these chalkier stacks in the afternoon. If things aren't going well, there are some really obvious pivots, right? So starting right here, Pittsburgh is a team that no one wants to touch. I literally don't think anybody on their team is going to be over 5% owned. So if things are going really poorly in the afternoon, just go switch to a Kenny Pickett stack. Not a soul will be on a Kenny Pickett stack, okay? So Kenny Pickett is going to be there. It seems like Jalen Warren might even be taking the backfield from Najee, but I'm just staying away from that until I get some clarity. Where I see something with Pittsburgh is in their passing game. They're likely to be playing from behind. They're going to be in a dome in nice conditions. Deontay Johnson is back this week, right? They didn't exactly rush him back either. So I would bet Deontay is probably going to be in for a full workload, and I bet he probably gets somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 to 11 targets, right? And if he does that at $5,000, he could get there, right? Especially if he falls in the box. And, I'm just going to make the assumption Pittsburgh's going to be playing from behind, and those are the kind of games I like Deontay Johnson in. I think George Pickens is also interesting, but man, at 5,500, I don't know. He's just like, all of his catches are so competitive that if he's not being God mode that day, it's harder to get there. On the flip side of that, everybody's going to want a slice of the Rams. Matthew Stafford with Kieran Williams out, they're going to be passing the ball more. They have no running backs. I think some people are going to play Zach Evans. Look at me. don't play Zach Evans. Don't do it, right? I would rather play Daryl Henderson than Zach Evans. And I think Daryl Henderson's been on the roster for like 30 minutes, okay? Well, he used to be on it. Re-signed for the 30 minutes. To me, the real play is, what do we do with Kupp and Nacua, right? Like, it seems as though Kupp is just back to being Cooper Kupp. Just put him in for 10 catches and 120 yards and a touchdown every freaking week. It's unbelievable. But the problem is, I think him and Nacua are so price prohibitive, they're almost impossible to double stack, especially with Stafford being up to 6,500, right? And what are the chances that that Pittsburgh's really going to push this game and make it a 31-28 game? I'd say very little chance of that. So if there's one chalkier team that I'm willing to kind of get off that chalk, it would be the Rams, right? If you have a Rams stack and things are going really well early, well, then keep your Rams stack. But if you get off to a slow start tomorrow, I encourage you to consider switching off of that chalky-ass Rams stack. From there, another game that's going to be wildly popular, the Seattle-Arizona game. Once again, everybody wants Seattle. Nobody wants Arizona. So a Josh Dobbs stack right there will be a stack that nobody is considering that you can pivot to in the afternoon. You have Marquise Brown to, of course, stack him with, who he loves throwing the ball to. You can see 9 targets a game. And then you have Trey McBride, who seems to slowly but surely be passing old Zach Ertz, right? He's definitely more talented than old dusty-ass Zach Ertz, right? I'm not touching that running back situation in Arizona, but how about this? How about you just run a Dobbs stack and then run it back with probably the best running back on the slate in Kenneth Walker, right? Kenneth Walker is in an absolute smash situation here. He's at home, he's favored, and he's in a run-forward offense, right? So Kenneth Walker checks every box you would want to see. Zach Charbonnet has not really cut into that workload. The question is, do you really want to play a 45% owned running back on a main slate on Sunday? Only you know the answer to that. I did it last week with Mostert, and let me tell you something, Bob, I don't regret it. From there, I do think Geno stacks might go a little more under-owned than they probably should. I think that it should be a pretty popular one, but because so many people want to play Walker, I think they'll just lean Walker. But if you want to get off that Walker chalk, I think you just play a Geno stack. And here's what could really make a Geno stack super interesting, right? Is DK Metcalf is questionable. There is at least a chance he will be inactive tomorrow. If he is, I think that opens up a tremendous amount of value for Lockett and Jackson Smith and the Jigba. And if those two guys are the main two receivers, I think a Geno stack with those two guys becomes kind of a nut play. You fade Kenneth Walker. So if Geno throws for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and Kenneth Walker doesn't get any touchdowns, well, not only have you hit a nut type stack with Geno and probably hit the wide receivers that got there with him, you've also faded the chalkiest player on the slate in Kenneth Walker. So don't be afraid, because usually when a quarterback does well, often that can mean that the running back is not doing well. So running a stack opposite of the chalkiest running back sometimes is the most clever play on a slate. Once again, we have another slate where I think a lot of people are going to want to play Green Bay and nobody wants to play Denver, right? This is basically like every game on the afternoon slate, which is great because it gives us plenty of chances to pivot, right? So here you go. Jordan Love, people are ready to believe. People have seen this Denver defense get shredded up, and Jordan Love can beat easily stacked. You've got Christian Watson, who seems like he's getting back to 100%. You've got Romeo Doubs. You have Jaden Reed. You have Luke Musgrave. You have all kinds of cheap options to stack him with. You can stack him, and then you can go grab Allen and Kelsey from the other game, right? So he's just such an affordable stack. But here's what I'll tell you. Aaron Jones, who I need to put a little symbol on, is trending towards being back, right? I would say he's about 75% to play tomorrow. If he plays, I think that could completely change this offense, right? I think you see A.J. Dillon obviously get a major downgrade, but I think you could see them run the ball more as they will be favorites, right? So, once again, if Jordan Love starts to become, you hear that stack getting a little bit of steam tomorrow, maybe the play is you just go play Aaron Jones and get off of it, right? And then you're knocking out two birds with one stone if Aaron Jones has a big game. For Denver, no one wants to touch them. They're radioactive. The running back situation, they're just spreading the ball around too much to make any of them real viable plays on a main slate. Russell Wilson, the guy, he sucks. I'll put it mildly, he really sucks. And then the wide receiver, they're trying to get rid of Jerry Jeudy. Marvin Mims is their most talented wide receiver, and they won't use him. And Cortland Sutton is, just vastly overrated. I guess he's their number one receiver because they refuse to make Marvin Mims their number one wide receiver. But man, Denver, look, if you're going to run a Green Bay stack, you got to have somebody as a run back. But you're going to have to figure that out because, man, any love I have for a Jordan Love stack was gone when I had to see that I probably needed to run it back with a Denver guy. And then lastly, everybody's favorite chalk game on the slate with a 50-point total, two quarterbacks that love to sling it around. You have the Chargers and the Chiefs. I do think the Chiefs are going to be wildly more popular than the Chargers. Justin Herbert will probably be lower owned. I will tell you, I think there's something a little wrong with him, right? He's just looked a little off, like maybe something with his elbow, his shoulder or something. He just hasn't been completing those passes we've normally seen him complete. So I am a little concerned there. Austin Eckler looked okay in his first week back, but at 8,600, it's just so hard to play him. he is kind of game script proof because he still catches the ball even when they're behind. But man, $8,600. I don't know. I think there's other plays. I'm going to spend $8,600. Give me Keenan Allen because Justin Herbert basically throws the ball to one and a half guys. He throws it to Keenan Allen, and then like the other six receivers are like the half guy, right? Keenan Allen will probably get 12 targets and could probably get there, right? Joshua Palmer did have a good game last week, but I don't trust that guy further than I could throw him. So there you go. The Chargers are not the easiest team in the world to stack. Everybody wants to play this game, and I just, when there's a game like this where it's really chalky, but all the pieces are expensive, just in my experience, I have faded games like this very often, and I've done better, right? Now, when it's a chalky game and there's cheap options, those games are much more harder to fade, right? But because all of the good pieces in this game, Herbert, Eckler, Allen, Mahomes, Kelsey, they're all so expensive, it really limits, like, those guys really have to have nutted type games to pay this off. For Kansas City, I came up with a rule 3 years ago. I don't play Patrick Mahomes on main slates. He's just so damn hard to stack, right? Who are you going to stack him with? Kelsey, right? And then you probably, because he passes so much, you probably need to double stack him. Who else are you going to put him with? Rashee Rice? Yeah, no chance that'll blow up in your face. Kadarius Toney? No chance that'll blow up in your face. Sky Moore? I mean, it's just so hard to double stack him. And he's so expensive. You have to have such efficiency out of him. I just hate it. I hate it, right? So to me, I think the most interesting piece from Kansas City is Isaiah Pacheco, right? If they're going to be playing from ahead, he is clearly taken over that backfield. He is clearly the number one back, and I think he gets 16 or 17 touches. If he just gets one touchdown, if he just takes one touchdown away from Patrick Mahomes, he probably not only gets you there as a running back, but he is also probably screwed over one of the most popular stacks enough that you are going to get there, right? There you go. That is the breakdown. Let's get to the drawing, but I got a couple things to go over. First, go check out my site, DGEN75.com. I promise you won't regret it. We have PGA, we have NFL, we have college football, soon to have NASCAR, and we have now, just if you just want to be a part of the community and stuff, we now have a package as low as $5. So go check it out. We have all the packages listed over here. It's not about me winning over there. It's about all these mother fathers winning. 18 GBP winners last week. Absolutely insane. People just working on the process, getting better, enjoying the game, being sustainable at it, and if you do it right long enough, you can ship a GBP. Look at all those mother fathers flying the flag. And of course, I have the best tool out there, the Rosetta Stone, which has every pertinent piece of information you need to know right here on an offensive coordinator's call sheet, okay? If you want to try the site out for a week, but you can't afford it, well, simply just go sign up for my newsletter, which is in the description of this video. Let support DGEN75 know on Twitter, and they will get you hooked up, okay? Let's get over to those props real quick that I want to show you, and then the drawing. Over here, don't forget, use my code DGEN75, and you can use the prop sniper at Run the Sims. It shows you what are the best props, what is the expectation to win, and what sportsbook you can find them at. If you're wanting to not lose at GPPs every week, right, go use this to supplement your income. These props are very good bets. These are plus EV bets, right? So here are some that I, using the prop sniper, found earlier today, right? Some bets that I've already placed that I think you can still get on. Patrick Mahomes under 284 passing yards. I just think that this game is going to be a little bit slower than people think. I think that Kansas City gets ahead, and I think Kansas City starts running the ball. And with all those things in mind, I think that the under on Patrick Mahomes passing yards. But on the flip side of that, I actually really like Patrick Mahomes on the over on passing. He has rushed over 24 yards 5 of 6 games this year. He is scrambling as much as we've ever seen him in his career. And you can also get this 24.5 number over at FanDuel. I really like him to get over that because he is a guy that just runs around. And then when the defenses are always dropping, worried about getting beat, and he just rips off like 2 12-yard runs, or I guess a 12 and a 13-yard run, he's there, right? I just really like that one. And the last one to consider, old Michael Pittman, under 53.5 receiving yards. You can find that on Caesars and DK. Pittman, it's more that Gardner Minshew's not great. I think that game is going to be slow, and I think that the Browns have the cornerbacks who can take away the top receivers for the Colts. So those are 3 prop bets I will be betting. That's the books where you can find them. Feel free to hop along. Go the other way. I don't give a shit, but I've already got my money down. All right, let's get to the winners real quick. Editor, I see 101 likes. Editor, go ahead and draw me 2 names. While he does that, I'm going to draw for my people that liked and retweeted over on Twitter. I appreciate you guys. This is to build a Millionaire Maker ticket with me tonight. Reach out to me on the Discord or on Twitter. And the winner is Dark No-No. Doctor No-No. All right, that's kind of a weird name. Wait, maybe he's just a really smart doctor, so he knows. Not Dr. No-No, like he's naughty. All right, editor is going to give us the two from the chat. While he does that, I want to tell you guys that me and Tambo are having a meetup at the Waste Management come this February. If you're interested in coming, the dates are right there. February 8th through the 12th, we're going to hang out. We're going to meet up. We're going to watch golf. We're going to watch the Super Bowl on television. So if you want to join up, let us know. We want to know how many people are coming. We might just get a big Airbnb and split it between everybody. So reach out to me. I'm not like one of those like famous people that like you can't DM because I'm like too pussy to check it. I'll fucking reply. That's four. I missed it. It was the Lucy multiplier. All right. Nightbot says Neptune Drill and Sean Blankenship, you motherfathers, we're building a millionaire maker ticket, so reach out to me and we will build it. In the meantime, I'm gonna take a swig of the cold brew, and by cold brew I mean Topo Chico, and then I'm gonna answer some questions, and then I'm gonna get out of here and go watch some college football and start building NFL lineups and watch golf in Japan because that's fun. All right, I see Nick with a super chat. Thank you again, Nick, for the super chats. The editor will get one small McFlurry because of this. Thanks to the Stone, top 10 Nick will be in college again. I saw Nick take third place in the 3 Max 150 today at college football. Man's on a heater. What else you want to say? Thoughts on a Washington stack, Mike? You know, this is why I wait, Mike, I do this show before I really make my player pool, and I almost sold myself on a Washington stack. But I will tell you, I am a little concerned about that weather. So ultimately, I think that might scare me off, but that ain't nothing. Oh, this Quinn Ewers dying today. The main site contest full yet? Well, even if it is, just go hop in my contest, the $5 3 max. Go get in there, sites 501. No, the main contest isn't full. Don't ask silly questions. All right, let's see. What's the game tomorrow, D-Gen? I'll even throw a water boy in the lineup. I mean, I'm telling you, I think this Tampa Bay, I think this Tampa Bay Atlanta game is sneaky. And then I kind of almost have taught myself into like Pittsburgh's going to actually play offense tomorrow. And if you can run a Kenny Pickett stack, let's face it, the Rams have some amazing run backs. Amazing. And my dream would be is that Arizona can actually push the pace with Seattle. But man, Joshua Dobbs sucks. Who is preferred Arizona receiver? Definitely Marquise Brown and then Wilson. And then after that, I'm not really interested in anybody. Let's see. Love the weekend college football. Hey, college football is fun, man. You know the best part about college football? It makes NFL get here just a little bit faster, doesn't it? And I won a couple bucks today. Won a couple bucks because if you don't know, the big guy be real good at cash. Why is NFL DFS a kick in the ass? I mean, it is until it isn't, right? I was kicking the ass. I show it who's daddy. That's what NFL is, man. You just like if you probably maybe you haven't been doing it long enough to know what you have to do to just grind it out until you hit a big one, right? I had lost four of the first 5 weeks and then I hit a big one, right? There you go. That's how you do it. Is there any concern about Aaron Jones usage? I would like to get word not only that he's active, but that they expect him to get a full workload, right? If it's one of those things where he's going to be, oh, man, Duke just got a pick six. Let's go. If it's one of those things where he's going to be a little bit, limited, that really does. That really kills my interest in him. My kid says, oh, God, Showdown Hoedown again? Oh, Nick, I thought she liked my show. Why don't you break my heart? All right, who is this week's Desmond Ridder? Quarterback and a low total, but possibly a sneaky shootout potential. I don't know. Kenny Pickett? Deshaun Watson? There you go. There's two of them to consider. I don't know. I don't have one, right? I pretty much knew I was going with Gardner Minshew all week last week. I don't have that guy this week. I'm going to just sit there and stare at my screen until the answer comes to me, right? Maybe smoke some peyote. All right, do you think that the Giants are finished and the Jets are alive? Yeah, I think the Giants have done quit. I think they're ready to get into the old Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Brian Hoyer for all the money? Oh, God. You know, if this game was in a dome, Nick, I might be able to get there with you. But outside in a gusty Chicago, you know, with, you know, the radioactivity, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it, big guy. What's good, D-Gens? Do you like the Arizona-Seattle game stacks? I would probably say if I get – let's go check that weather one more time. But, like, if it's not going to be raining – which, where the hell's the game? Yeah, it looks like it's just going to be partly cloudy with 7-mile-an-hour winds. That actually seems like pretty good weather for Seattle. I got to tell you, they're probably my favorite game right now, right? Probably, and if DK Metcalf's out, then I'm definitely in on that game. Then I'm in. Because all that does is concentrate the usage, right? I love to play quarterbacks who's missing one of their receivers because that concentrates usage, right? Badgett from the Bears for all the money? I mean, maybe to lose all your monies. If doing late swap, do you more chalk early or late? Yeah, so what I like to do when there's a really great late swap options, Paul, is I like to play a weird piece or two early, right? Maybe a stud that's going to go lower owned. Like, let's just say Amari Cooper. And if Amari Cooper goes for 29.8 points, I'm like, oh, geez, I got huge leverage on the field right now. I'm switching to, because I played this low-owned piece in the early part, I'm going to go switch to a chalky afternoon stack, right? Whoever that is, Stafford or whatever it may be, right? Jordan Love, whatever you want it to be. Geno Smith stacks for all the cash. Don't mind it. I would just say keep Kenneth Walker out of it, and I think that's how you could get really different. What is your view on attacking quarterbacks and running back projects 6 to 8 targets? Also, Grillo needs to make some money in Japan. Yeah, Grillo's going to let you down there, bro. What is your view on stacking a quarterback? Yeah, if it's a running back that'll get a lot of touches, a Jerick McKinnon type or something, or what Samaje Perine used to be with the Bengals, I don't hate that as much. But, man, I just feel like on full slate, there's just usually better running backs to get in your lineup. You think it's an all-star lineup this week? I mean, I'm going to be playing some nasty-ass mofos. How many skinny stacks would you allow in a lineup this week, or is it better just to go? Jerry, I've fallen in love with skinny stacks. The skinny stack is just a quarterback and one receiver. I really like those, and sometimes I don't even have a run back if it's like if I don't like anybody from the other team. How's the weather? I already looked at it. Thoughts on Geno with Walker and a receiver? I think that's going to be pretty chalky, right? That's why if I'm going to run a Geno stack, I'm specifically going to fade Walker with him and just hope that Geno and the pass catchers are pilfering those touchdowns from Walker, right? And that gives me leverage, right? Because I'll be overweight on Geno, and I will also be overweight on fading Walker, right? So that's just how I like to play. Because it's not about what your guys do. It's about what your guys does and how it affects everybody else that you're playing, right? How do you gauge ownership percentage before kickoff? Well, NFL, it's a big moving target, right? Now that everybody has good ownership projections, it really moves the needle. So it's not the easiest thing in the world. I'm much better at golf because, you know, there's not as many people frantically changing last minute at golf. Best show in the biz, am I right? My mom would agree. Let's see. Don't forget, hop in the contest, you mother fathers. We got to get it filled. Share it with a friend. $5 three max. Don't make me look stupid. Don't make me be that guy tweeting it out. Hey, get my contest, guys. How much time and thought do you really put into defenses on main slate? Very simple, Matt. I never play a defense over $3,200. I'd rather save that money and put it elsewhere. So that's number one. Number two, I don't play defenses against an offense that I think is going to be running the ball and dominating the game. So a team like the 49ers or something. And I tend to like my defenses at home, right? So that usually narrows it down to about 6 defenses every week for me. All right, what do you think about breaking out early in some big ownership games this week? I mean, it makes sense to me. What do you do when a low-owned skinny stack is so gross but you can't look past it? You just do it, Jay. Just do it. Just look at what's been winning GPPs, man. The grossest stacks have been winning. How do you gauge ownership percentage before game day? No one ever explains this. Please help. Sean, the biggest thing is projections, okay? That's part of it. You also look at what tout sites are saying. You also look at any breaking news and how much value that opens. And those are the things that leads to it, Sean. You do all caps at me again, I'll mute your ass. All right, Neptune team drill. Thoughts on Rams running back situation? If you had to guess, who do you think has the best upside? If you made me pick, the Ram with the best upside would probably be Royce Freeman. The Zach Evans thing is just such a bad play. Patrick Nicholson, first time I've gotten a chance to watch live. Well, welcome, you mother father. Love the content. How different do you feel to have in terms of ownership when playing tournaments that have around 2K? I honest to God, I don't even really worry about it. Usually my stack is a little icky, so right there my stacks usually aren't that chalky. And when you start with a non-chalky stack in a contest that only has 2,000 people, you're already so different, you don't got to get crazy, right? You ain't got to get crazy. Why do the Broncos suck? Could they do well tomorrow? The Broncos suck because they're bad. Could they do well tomorrow? Any team in the NFL can always do good. They're never as good as they seem, and they're never as bad as they seem. That's what you need to remember about the NFL. How do I stop getting tertiary stacks while I'm using the solver? You just go into it and you tell it down here. You just say, hey, I player groups, and you say if this guy or this guy, then I don't want this guy. If Keenan Allen and Eckler, then no, Mahomes or Kelsey, right? You just tell it like that. Moving on. I mess around with Solver a lot. I don't know if I'm a pro, but I ain't a dumbass at it. DJ, if Hoyer starts, would you consider him? No, I just don't like that game, man. I'm staying away from it. That's part of my look. Everybody should have their own process. Part of my process is I just X games off the slate. That is a game that is getting X'd off my slate, except for maybe some defenses. What's your favorite RB play tomorrow? I got a pretty spicy one for you. I like this young upstart in Seattle named Kenneth Walker III. I think he could be a real good play. Do you prefer to go low dollar value stacks and cash to get more high value pieces? You know, Magic, I don't have an answer to that because I only started doing cash last week. And I will tell you that it seems like with cash, you want to get some very safe, expensive pieces, a Cooper Kupp type guy, but you also want to play the quote unquote safe free square guys that are cheap, right? So if that stack will allow you to do that, I think that makes sense, right? I think that makes sense. All right, keep an eye on New England's weather. I've seen some forecasts. There you go, Steven. There you go. So we'll watch out for that. I'm also going to watch out for the fact that New England really sucks. I am going to be keeping an eye out for that. Let's see. Only looking for, if there's not a question mark, I skip over it, guys. Mahomes with Pacheco and Rice with no Kelsey? Yeah, I don't mind that, Oliver. I think that's a way to play Mahomes and be different. But more important than that, it's a way to play Mahomes and still have some money left over, right? Because that's the problem with the Mahomes stack is it just gets so expensive, Bob. So expensive, especially when you start throwing in like a Keenan Allen run back. My God, man. My God. All right. Getting to questions. Looking for question marks. Mr. Slovakia in the house. I'm playing so many gross stacks again. What do you think is the best gross stack? Let's go Joshua Dobbs. I don't know. Denver Green game has potential shootout. Yes, I know it's gross, isn't it? Yeah, but the sad thing is, I liked a Jordan Love stack until I saw that people were wanting to play a Jordan Love stack. Now I'm out. Now I'm out like a fat kid in dodgeball. How much Baker is too much Baker with a hand injury? I'm pretty sure the hand injury is his non-throwing hand, right? So I'm not too concerned about that. Baker's a gamer. Is it a legit strategy on the slate like this to like Green Bay? To overstack some games. I mean, no, I think there's enough decent games on here. I wouldn't personally be overstacking. That would be my rule. But, I think I'm always warm to having four guys from a game. Five guys if you absolutely love a game, right? That's my general rule. Now I see why Bill was so happy. I saw Minnesota just won. Is it time for Rashad White? Rashad White is a guy that, like, we're kind of getting to that point where, like, should we give up on this cat? Are we done with this guy right here? And I'm starting to feel that way. But, man, if he can't get it done at home against the Falcons, I got to think he's toast, right? I got to think he's toast. How low do we go on defense? You know, honest to God, I haven't even looked. Let's go see what the cheapest defense is. I haven't even looked at the defenses. I would be open to playing New England at 2,100. They're at home. They can get after Josh Allen. Josh Allen ain't afraid to throw a pick six, bro, Cephas. I play at 21. If it's a lineup I really like, I'll finish with New England. Big guy don't give a shit. All right, does the optimizer work for mobile? I'm pretty sure it does. Can anybody in the chat answer Kevin? I always do it from desktop, so I don't know, and I also don't want to lie to you, right? But I know a lot of my people are just on their mobile phone, so I'm pretty sure it does, but I don't know that for sure. Let's see, looking for questions. Nathan says, what stack do you end up winning with last week? A Minshew stack, a little skinny Minshew. It was Minshew and Pittman. And I ran it back with Kirk and Etienne, and then that was such a cheap little game stack that I could go grab studs everywhere else, right? So I just went and grabbed a bunch of studs and had a good lineup. It scored just a little over 200 points, and it helped that I played Minnesota's defense, right? Because I didn't want anything to do with that Minnesota-Chicago game, so I just played the defense. It's pretty easy shit, Bob. Let's see. By the way, there's a reason I don't put them on Twitter, because I don't want people being like, hey, man, why don't you sell your stuff on the Twitters, man? You hit big old GBP, because I don't want people joining my site because I win GBPs. That's just for the birds. Let the other people do that. Hey, I want GBP. Come join my site. Sad. Very sad. All right. Do you still feel Adam Thielen sucks? not after he won me a GBP last week. Joshua Smith, you Mormon. How are you? What are your feelings on skinny versus double stacks this season? To me, it depends on the quarterback. There's very few quarterbacks, Steven, that I'm double stacking. And you are definitely over your two questions, pal. All right. Go Collect says, if you consider a gross stack, a 3-max contest, do you use the same quarterback? So I'll probably do about 20 to 22 lineups this week, and I will either run one stack or two stacks. Last week, I did 12 lineups. I only ran Minshew stacks, okay? So basically, I kind of just determine how many stacks I want to run. It's never more than two, and I always give each stack at least 10 lineups. At least 10 lineups so I can get different variations of that stack, right? All right, Detroit run backs for tomorrow. If I am running against Detroit and I needed some run backs, I mean, Amon-Ra is always good. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is probably a really good run back simply because I think he's game script proof. I think if they're ahead, he'll be running the ball. And if he's behind, he'll be catching the ball. That's what I think. Hey, I cannot believe we still have 182 of you here, like Blink-182 with a new album this week. Kind of sucked, won't lie to you. Thank you for the 120 of you that hit the like. Please continue to hit the like. Tell a friend. Do not forget to turn on the notifications. Make sure to subscribe. We appreciate every single one of you being here. This has been awesome. I will see you again tomorrow on Pat Mayo Show, 6:15, Lord's time zone. Be there. Is it not incredible how much Pat looks like Brick from Anchorman? Absolutely incredible. It's been real, guys. I will talk to you tomorrow on Pat Mayo Show. Thank you for being here. I'll see you again tomorrow. Hasta luego, you mother fathers.